The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
I want to talk a little bit about vow. When I was practicing at the Zen Center for a number of years, and vow was the most important part of practice. Vow, sincerity. Zazen, or meditation, was a huge support to finding one's vow and to expressing one's vow. You know, we expressed our vow through sitting. But as you got to be an older student, you were asked to do many things that might interfere with sitting. For example, after I'd been practicing for about, maybe 9 years, I was asked to manage the grocery store. Can everybody hear me okay? The Zen Center had a grocery store. And I had been used to sitting a couple of times every morning, and then a service and study sometimes. So very intensive meditation practice every morning for 9 years. And then to manage the grocery store, I had to get up at 1:30 every morning and go off in this big truck to the produce markets. There were two big produce markets, and I had to buy produce for the Zen Center and for greens and for the grocery store. And then I would go to the cheese market, and I'd go to the flour market, and I'd drive my truck back. And all these people, all my friends, were sitting zazen and peacefully, and I was driving around. One time I got stopped by a cop, and he said I was swerving a little bit, and I was doing zazen in my driving in my car, truck. And that was expected, to maintain my vow, and I'd come back and unload the truck and go have breakfast. And the vow that was prevalent at the Zen Center was the Bodhisattva vow, which is to save all sentient beings. It's a big order. So guilt sometimes tells this story, and I think it's relevant to kind of dig into this a little bit, about this king and queen in Buddha's day. And the king asked the queen who she thought was the most important person in the entire land. And he was, of course, expecting her to say, "Why, you are, my dear king." But instead she said, "Well, I am the most important person in the whole land." And the king was rather nonplussed by this response, taken aback, but she was unrelenting in her contention that she was the most important. So he said, not wanting marital discord, he said, "Let's take this to the Buddha, so he'll tell us what's what." So they went to the Buddha, and the Buddha said, "Well, indeed, your wife is correct. She is and should be the most important person to herself in the entire land. And likewise, you," the Buddha would say, "should be the most dear, the most cared about, the most important person. Your well-being, is the most important thing for you, for me too." So, taking that to heart, I think it it would bode well for us to deeply investigate. What do I want? What do you want? What do you deeply, deeply want for yourself for this very brief time that we have here on this earth? What is your heart's desire for your dear, dear self? I think that's a question that's worthy of a lot of reflection, or just enough reflection. Maybe enough reflection to come up with some answer. Answer can change. It doesn't have to be written in stone for the rest of your life. But the answer for now, what is your heart's deepest desire for yourself? What do you want? And then, when you've discovered that, and it could be a feeling, or it could be a concept. For me, what I want now for myself, my deepest desire, is I want peace. I want ease. I want equanimity. I kind of consider those all in part of the same. Species. That's what I want. I want to spend my entire day, from the minute I wake up to the time I go to bed at night, I want to spend my time what I think is best for me, what I really want. I want peace. I want ease. Doesn't have to be your answer, but that's my answer. So that's my touchstone. That's my compass as I go through the day. This is what I really want. It's not what I should want. It's not because this is Buddhist. If I was, really super, super Buddhist, I might want to save all sentient beings deeply. But that doesn't resonate for me right now as deeply as peace. And it's within reach for me. I could say that I want, I want to be enlightened, I want to have some transformative experience and be, in complete bliss and whatever. I have no idea what that is, and it's not within reach right now. But what is within reach, what I can bring off pretty well, what I can aim for, what I can incline myself for is this intention. And then, as I go through my day, I can feel that other intentions are getting in the way of that intention, and I'm getting rattled, I'm getting agitated, and I don't want to be that way. It's very clear. It's good to have this clarity as a foil. So that if something's coming up and we have so many intentions that come up all through our day, there's a saying that no matter if gold rained from the sky, there wouldn't be enough gold. So our goal takes many forms. Our intentions take many forms. I want this gold or that gold or this gold. I want, this person's praise, or I want this success, or I want to have a certain amount of fame in this group, or I want this pleasure. So if somebody says something that stirs me up, makes me agitated, I'm not getting their approval or their praise or their validation or something like that, and I get, then I, and I could, you know, argue with this person, could, you know, get into that. This is, hey, I'm not what you think. I'm a good guy. And, you know, you got it all wrong here. So getting involved with that intention to get that person's, you know, praise. But then I think, is that, you know, because I have this compass, this strong compass. Is that what I really want? Is that what I really want? Well, it'd be nice if that person praised me now. I'm not going to deny that. But what I really want in this moment is I want to be at ease. So coming back to that, more than anything, that trumps it. That trumps all my intentions. I want ease. So I can take my ease, take it in. And given that, I can not be so concerned about that person's opinion, but I can actually have ease. I have everything I want, and I can listen to what that person is saying. Look into their face. Look at their posture. Sense what's going on with them. And maybe through that process of being true to my intention, I can maybe give a little bit of my intention to them, a little bit of ease and peace to them. So maybe before you go to bed tonight, it's a good time to do it. Meditate maybe before you go to bed, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever, so that you're calm and settled and you can really reach in and maybe think to yourself, consider, reflect. What do I really want for myself in this life? What do I want for myself? How do I want to spend my day tomorrow? What can I have that will be the most deeply satisfying? And let that be an emblem that you can seal on your next day. Let that be your guide, and let that be your vow. Just a suggestion. So for me, I wish all of you dear people, I wish you peace, and I wish you ease, and I wish you anything that goes with that, that would nourish those feelings in you. I have corollary practices. You know, I have practices like, I have other intentions that nourish this intention, and that's great, you know. Appreciation is a great nourishment, you know, to appreciate. You know, gratitude is a great nourishment to peace. Many practices can nourish ethics, generosity, and others don't nourish. And certain activities nourish, and certain activities don't nourish. So being clear about this touchstone, whatever your touchstone is. Thank you.